What a wonderful thought that indeed the Lord will help us, will strengthen us, and tonight let us do so as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 9 through 14 that will serve as our lesson text tonight. Times such as this, I'm reminded of Psalm 85 and verse 6. When the psalmist said, "Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" The word revival is not a word that the denominational world has cornered for their type of gospel meetings. Matter of fact, the word revive is a word that means to make alive, to keep alive, or make alive again. And so times of gospel meetings, I always like to ask the question, which one are you? Are you one that needs to be made alive again, as we discussed near the end of the lesson last evening? Made alive in the fact that you are dead in sin and that you have no life in Christ Jesus, spiritually speaking. You see, in Christ there is no condemnation, Romans 8 and verse 1. When we are in Christ, we are a new creation, because old things have passed away and all things become new, 2 Corinthians 5:17. To become new, a person not only believes in Christ, but a faith that moves them to embrace repentance, to change their hearts, to change their direction, changing their decision, confessing their faith in Christ. And when one is baptized into Christ, that is how one is placed into Christ, Romans 6, 4 through 6, and Galatians 3 and verse 27. We're going to sing a hymn in a moment. There's a great day coming. And I know there were people that flocked all different places to see a 4-minute eclipse. I even saw today on a news headline that there was a couple that had their marriage during the eclipse. I thought that was pretty cool, very creative. But I'd love to see the same zeal among people when the Lord returns, to look toward the sky when He returns. That is a great day. But for the one that's not a Christian, that's a sad day. For the one that's not a Christian, that's a sad day. And we know not when judgment day will come, and we do not know when our day of death may come. I'm not being morbid, but friend, if you have not been made alive in Christ Jesus, I hope tonight that you will obey the gospel and you know what you need to do. How about the individual that needs to be made alive again, or an individual that needs to come back to the Lord? An individual that needs to confess their sins, they've been away, and ask for prayers of their brothers and sisters in Christ. And such may be one or more of you tonight, that you've been thinking about that all week. You've been back this week. You missed the fellowship of the Lord and His church. To be made alive again, simply confessing our faults one to another, praying for one another that we'll be healed, James 5. To be made alive, to make alive again, or to keep alive. Dear brother or dear sister, we hope that our studies this week has helped you to remain alive, to help you to remain alive in Christ Jesus. We have been richly blessed this week by the Lord sending rain at the proper time. I believe in rain during gospel meetings. Now let me explain. I want it to rain early in the morning, throughout the morning, then let it clear off later where we can all get out and be here. I want it to rain just enough to soak down the ball fields. That helps a lot of parents make the proper decision. And if the Lord's going to send rain to rain a few ball games out so they'll say we need to be at worship, then maybe they'll learn and grow and see how the Lord does provide in many ways. So grateful for the good weather this week. Grateful for your dedication. I'll say more in a little bit. Would you consider with me now 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 9 through 14. And there's one verse that I want to put a focus on for our lesson tonight. Brother Garland has mentioned the title of the lesson and you will see it in the reading of this text. On a Wednesday evening, final night of a gospel meeting, there are the occasions that I want to leave something for the home folks that you build and you work on and continue onward for the cause of Christ. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. Here is our phrase for the lesson tonight. Back in verse 10, let each one take heed how he builds. You see, gospel meetings conclude, but living keeps on. Building on the rock continues on. So friends, here's the question, how are we building? Two simple points tonight, the lesson is yours, and this gospel meeting will be history. First of all, take heed how we build and remember the foundation is God's foundation. It is Christ. I love to look once again at that verse, for other foundation, verse 11, can no one lay or can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. A prophecy of old, when we look at Isaiah 28, verses 16 and 17, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, he that believeth shall not make haste. We also see something similar in Psalm 118, 22 and 23. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. There's the prophecy of the Old Testament. Let's see the fulfillment in the New Testament. Jesus himself, after the parable of the wicked husbandman, he affirmed that he was the foundation in Matthew 21, 42. When Jesus said unto them, did you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And then in the preaching on shortly after Pentecost in Acts 4, the defense there before the ruling authorities, Acts 4 and verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And then I love Acts 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. None other name, no other rock, and on Christ we stand. God laid foundations, therefore, require God-made building. The foundation is laid. We learn of how the foundation is from God, the prophecy of old, the fulfillment in the new. And now number two, take heed how we build. And the decision is ours. Now back to verse 9 of our lesson text. We are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. You know, you think about it. He covers every aspect of the world. God's field outside, God's building inside. He makes it very clear that we are God's building. So therefore, if the foundation is of God, laid of God, of Christ, then friends, might I submit that what we build on that foundation needs to be a God-made plan. After all, in verse 12, If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. Now we alluded to this the other night in our lesson one more time. Gold, silver, precious stones, they will endure fire. In fact, fire can purify. Therefore, testing will endure, and faith will withstand the storms. He that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him unto a wise man who built his house on the rock. When you look at gold and silver and precious stones, they will endure fire. They may be smoky, they may change color, but they endure. But now you take wood, hay, and straw, that goes up rather quickly. It cannot withstand fire. Wood, hay, straw, it burns rather quickly. And so, friends, we need to take heed how we build our lives on the foundation. Now, what I want to do for the next few moments within this final point is I want to look at some taking heed, paying attention verses from the Scripture. With our architect being Christ, in building, number one, I must trust the architect. If you are going to have, and if you have ever had a house built, you want the proper builder, but first, you need a good architect. Can I trust that architect? You're with the architect. You see a plan. Now, I mean this kindly, and I'm going home tomorrow, so I guess I can get away with saying it. But now, husbands, you are looking at that plan, and that beloved wife looks at you and say, can we change that closet right there? Can we move that right there? Can we shrink this right here? Now, we are accustomed to look at her and say, hon, yes, we can. I'll start it, you finish it in your mind. If mama ain't happy, you know the rest. But now, we're not going to go and get a pencil, fellas, and start. No, no. We want to take what she has to say. But what do we do? We ask the architect, can we move that wall? Will that affect the stability of the house? Is that a load-bearing wall that we could possibly move? I mean, there's a number of things. But folks, it's important to trust the architect. I submit to you that the same one who laid the foundation is the architect of whom we are to follow the plans for our lives. He that rejects me, Jesus said, and receives not my words, has one that will judge him. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day, John 12:48. We want to take the scripture that is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And I love verse 17 of 2 Timothy 3, that the man of God, the individual of God, may be perfect or mature or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We have to trust the architect. If his foundation is sure, and it is, then we must make sure we are allowing him to build. With that in mind, friends, let's take heed of false doctrine. Let's take heed of doctrine that is not according to the Scripture. You know, in Mark 8 and verse 15, Jesus charged or challenged them saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Do you know what he is saying there? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and beware of the leaven of Herod, the political leaders. Luke 11 verse 35, therefore take heed that the light that is in you be not darkness. Let's be aware and make certain that we are building properly. In 1 Timothy 4 verse 15, he told Timothy, meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. It is astounding when there are those that say doctrine doesn't matter. You believe what you want, I believe what I want. But have you ever realized Jesus never taught that? Paul never taught that. Peter never taught that. John never taught that. No prophet ever taught that, that you can believe whatever you want to believe, because then you become your God, and we're building on the foundation, hay, wood, and straw, and it will not stand. And when somebody teaches me that doctrine is not important, another word for doctrine is teaching, so they're teaching me that teaching's not important. Now let that sink in for a moment. That just doesn't work, does it? We need to take heed, and we cannot build worldly thoughts on heaven's foundation. It's not going to withstand. It will not withstand, and the world and its culture within, the woke movements are not awake. They have no life to them. When we think political deliverance settles us, we can be just as accurate politically as we can be, which is no such thing. We can be as accurate politically as we can be, but still be just as lost spiritually. We do not put our trust in the things of men, but in the things of God. So in building my life, your life, we need to take heed and make certain that we trust the architect. We take His plan. And then number two, in building, I must use the best materials. I must use the best materials possible. And therefore, I need to take heed of the riches of this world. Let's put it in the right perspective. In Luke 12 and verse 15, Jesus said to them, take heed, there's that phrase again, take heed, and beware of covetousness or greed, or the number one aim, get all the material you can. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. One's life does not consist in the abundance of things, because there comes a time he'll never have enough abundance. He'll never be satisfied. I love Proverbs chapter 30 verses 8 and 9. Remove falsehood far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Folks, when you really think about it, we live in a country, yes, with all of its problems and challenges, but if you put our country and how we live side by side with all the nations of this world, we are probably among the richest people in this nation, regardless of what you and I make income-wise, as far as within this world. We are blessed, and sometimes, friends, we confuse the physical with the spiritual. We confuse the material over the master. When we do that, it's like this. As long as things are going well for us physically, health is pretty good, material-wise, we think that we are doing well. And there are those times that we think we're doing well that we start moving away from God. That's a sad situation. What we're doing in that regard, folks, we are swapping our building for cheaper materials. We're taking shortcuts with our lives spiritually, and the building will not be solid. When we build, we must use the best materials to build ourselves upon that foundation, Christ, spiritually. It's not what all we can attain. It's not what all that we can do. I'm very concerned when a lot of times we want our young people, our children, to grow up and to have good jobs, to go off to college, to learn things to do. And I'm all for that. But here is what I will tell every young person before they go off to college, if that's their choice. Wherever you may go, you find yourself a local, now I said you find yourself a local congregation of the Lord's church. You get yourself active, you get in there and you know those people, and you go not for what you get, but what you can give. Now notice I say, you seek out. I have known parents who will come with their children and will visit a congregation. And so many times that young person can't wait till parents go home. And then a lot of times they're not seen again. That's sad. That's tragic. I'm encouraged that when I come back to a place such as Leoni, that I see little ones that for the life of me, I'm trying to remember how little they were, but to see how you're active and the work that you are doing here and even at other places. That's a great encouragement. And friends, we need to make certain that we are putting our lives and using the best materials, the spiritual materials that we build on a foundation. Now, we're not going to take a shortcut in a house that we're building unless we take a look. We see it is as effective. We learn something during the process of building. We don't do that. We're not going to do that with our lives. Again, this is a lesson that you and I, as this meeting ends, we take heed upon ourselves and what are we doing. Here is the next thing in building. Now, in building, I want the best materials built from the best architect that's laid on the best foundation. So in building, again, I need to take heed. I don't want a lemon, nor do I want a money pit. Now, you all know what I'm referring to. I've known people who have bought houses that say, Jeff, that thing turned into a money pit. Every time I turned around, something was breaking, something was going wrong. We want to be prepared when something is not working right, and we need to know our warranties, we need to know our guarantees. We simply need to make certain that we have something laid aside because, folks, as you and I well know, a lot of things do not last as long as they used to last. I can remember growing up as a boy, we had a refrigerator. My older sister had swung on the handle. It was an old Frigidaire refrigerator, and the handle would go down, and she swung on it, did something, and it broke. Daddy figured out if we took an old screwdriver and put in there, we could push the screwdriver down and open up the refrigerator. That's the refrigerator I remember growing up because refrigerators were a little bit more expensive and that thing still kept everything cool. And finally, the day came, it just flat wore out and we had to get another refrigerator. Of course, we couldn't swing on that one, took all the fun away from it. But folks, a lot of things. I mean, in the house we've lived in for the past 21 years, we've had to have the third roof put on because of storms. I mean, it just happens. Water heater had to be put in. I mean, heating units, these things happen. We need to be prepared and we need to be ready. And we want to do that with physical buildings. We need to do that with ourselves. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. When we think we ourselves have got it made, look out. You see, we can't think that way because the foundation is Christ. He is our architect. He has supplied the materials and we are building and we are continuing to build and grow. And when we see what all has been provided from Christ, when we start moving away and it's all ourselves, then we better take heed. We will fall. Would you go back to our lesson text of verse 13, how that each one's work will become clear and how it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test each one's work, what sort it is. On the day of judgment, the test will come forth. The question is, will you and I pass that test? Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 to encourage us as we think on this. In 1 Peter 1 verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Let's pause right there. Have you ever been grieved by various trial or a trouble? Folks, every one of us in this room, starting right here behind me, going out the door, every one of us has faced some type of trial or trouble or heartbreak that has driven us to our knees in this life. It could be the passing of a loved one. It could be the loss of a job. It could be a relationship that has gone awry. There was a young man who his love of his life, and he was in his late teens. Well, she had other ideas and broke it off, and man, you talk about a young man that was devastated. Now, those of us who are older know he's going to be all right. But that's not what he wants to hear at the moment. He needs to be told, you're going to be okay. But Hoss, sometimes you just got to learn to work through hurt. Sometimes we just got to be like an old dog. You got to lick the sore and go on. Now, that doesn't make it easy. That's easy to say. But folks, sometimes we just have to work through that hurt. Now, here's where we need the help. Go back to 1 Peter 1. Stay with me. If need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Verse 7. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found. Your faith will be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. When we're grieved by the troubles of life, go to verse 8. Don't forget the one to whom we love, and he's still loving us. His foundation is still strong. He's saying your building is still standing. You love me. Give glory to me. Honor and praise me. You will be tested, but through Jesus Christ, praise God, we can pass the course. And our troubles in life, oh, I can remember some of the most trying moments in my life, and you can yours, that looking back, there were things that happened that helped us. The encouragement of our brothers and sisters in Christ. God provided comfort, strength, people that helped us through those moments and keep helping us through those moments. The encouragement of neighbors, the blessing of friends, help us to endure. In Matthew 10:22, Jesus reminds us, he that endures to the end shall be saved. And may I take you to verse 14 of our lesson text once again. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. Friends, the lesson tonight is to help us to take heed, to be reminded that as this meeting ends, that we're continuing to build on the rock with God's plans and not the world's plans. And for our lives to rely upon Christ, he's laid the foundation. He is the architect that directs us. He provides the materials to help us. And praise God, he reminds us of the guarantee and the assurance that he helps us through as we build our lives every day. We began with it. We must end with it. Therefore, Whosoever hears these sayings of mine, Jesus said, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. But it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Those were the final words that Jesus said at the wonderful Sermon on the Mount. I would submit to you the invitation of that Sermon on the Mount. And friends, we've talked about building on the rock. We've talked about how we build and how we grow. And so once again, as we come to the end of this lesson, there is a great day coming. But for some, it will be a bright day. For the one that lays his or her life on the foundation of Christ, who builds on it properly, who follows the words and the drawing of the architect, who uses the best materials that he provides and embraces the guarantees that help us continue on living. But it's going to be a sad day for the ones who refuse to obey the gospel of Christ, who are building their houses on ever-shifting sand. And when the storm comes and you cannot withstand, dear friends, what a sad day indeed that will be. If the Lord were to have returned last evening, would your day have been bright or would it have been sad? Then you know your circumstance tonight. Through faith, repentance, confession of Christ, and baptism, you can be added to the church. If you're not walking a life faithful for our Lord and you need prayers on your behalf, remember, he that hears these things and will do them, he likens it to a wise man. Let's be prepared for the storms of life, and we can do that by preparing our lives. If you need to respond to our Lord's invitation tonight for any reason, will you come as we sing and while we sing? Why don't you go ahead and be seated, if you will. And if you want to turn to 775, that's the closing hymn. Now, I'm not going to get up and bring many other words, but it's only the appropriate time for me to look to you and to say a very special thank you for a good week here at Leoni. I'm encouraged to hear of the words Brother Garland mentioned earlier, the prayers, the success of the meeting, and you worked very diligently. We never do things that are not when we do them in the name of the Lord. Your advertising, your work, your dedication, you continue to do very well. I want to pause and look at our folks who are joining us live and say I'm thankful that you've joined us here and the Leoni congregation each Lord's Day. Garland, is it Lord's Day and Wednesday? All time. And you can stream here if you're unable to worship where you are. And I know they would love to have you here as well. And I'd like to ask you, since you're on social media, if you'd go to International Gospel Hour on your Facebook page or Instagram. If you're into X or Twitter, it's our, HOUR_gospel. Follow our page and you'll know what our daily broadcast will be. You'll see our 60 Seconds with the Savior, our clip from our television program, and like for you to follow there on social media, not only to our folks who are watching, but to all of you who are involved in social media as well. You know, they say people 65 and older is the fastest growing age group for social media. And the reason? Because of grandchildren. They're able to keep up with family a little bit more. So feel free to follow us and help us in that regard. On our YouTube channel, and I'm grateful you have a YouTube channel. People access YouTube more than any streaming service. And you can follow our program, International Gospel Hour. We're grateful for our viewers that continue to grow there and thankful for that good opportunity as well. If you have Ben Lohman Cable here local, channel 16, I believe it is, and but it depends on which cable system you have, but we're on four times a week there on GBN. We're grateful for our television opportunities and for the wonderful open doors the Lord has granted. We're grateful for, I mentioned our Hispanic podcast last night that's new, Cristianos Fieles, or Faithful Christians. So tonight as you leave, I brought a few little stick-em pads back there and some stickers are left, so please help yourself. The more you take home, the less I have to take home. And so I would appreciate that if you can use any of that. Please feel free to. And Leone, thank you for your support of our work. Last evening, I had a wonderful meal with the elders and shared with them some updates of the work. Grateful for the meal at the Champions on Monday night. Thankful for the dinner on the ground here on Sunday. I'm telling you, folks, Leone still brings it after all these years. I know there will not be any fellowship meals in heaven because God will provide all. But if there was to be a fellowship meal, I believe Leone would fix the first one. I do. I think the brotherhood needs to know how good it is. And so I'm grateful for your care for me. Grateful for the nice stay at the Cannon Inn. I was able to get some additional work done as well, and that was a very nice place to stay. Let me say this. If you have family that comes to visit you and well, let's just say that you love them, but you don't love them all that much. And you need to use the Cannon Inn to keep your relationship very good. I'd encourage you to use it for your family. If you run out of room or if you want to make some room you don't have, if you've got room that you don't want to use and the Cannon Inn does, feel free to use it. That's a very nice place. One of the top places I have stayed. Thank you for your care for me there. I'll be leaving early in the morning, so until I see you next time, may God bless you and may God take care of you here at Leone. You're very special to me. I'm grateful for our friendship and fellowship, and I want to thank you for a wonderful week. If you're over around Chattanooga area, you can come up to Cleveland, reach out to us. Maybe we can meet you, spend some time with you there. Chattanooga's a very family-friendly town. People enjoy those trips. So if you're ever over our way, we'd love for you to see us. And I will leave with you the same exhortation as I did the last time of my departure, the words of Paul in Acts 20:32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. We love you. May God take care of you. And until next time, friends, farewell. Brother Garland.